take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the weekend. It is Friday, May 1st, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for being here. So happy you could make it. Oh my goodness, we've got the Global Cannabis March. Can you believe it? We're already in May of 2015, and the Global Cannabis March is upon us. It takes place tomorrow, Saturday, May 2nd, in 300 cities around the world. And Portland, Oregon is one of them. I'll be there with Portland Normal at the Global Cannabis March, Pioneer Courthouse Square, noon to 6 p.m. I'm speaking around 12:45, I think. Come on out and check us out. We've got our brand new canopy. Our booth is going to be styling a couple of big flags, a custom printed canopy and back walls and banners. I mean, it's going to be really, really nice. So check that out. And of course, if you're not in the local area, you just want to see what it looks like, go to portlandnormal.org. We posted some pictures of that. Set it up today. It looks really, really nice. All right. Coming up on the show today, good friend of the show, Sarah Frank, will be joining us. She is leading the charge for a referendum on Washington's 5052 bill. That's the recent bill signed by Governor Inslee there that pretty much decimates the medical marijuana program as it is known currently in Washington state. This referendum, of course, would be a vote to repeal or rescind or amend or change that particular law and restore medical marijuana to its current 15 plants and 24 ounces. We'll talk to Sarah about that at half past the hour. Stay tuned for that. She's also involved with Moms for Marijuana and the fight against Child Protective Services. So I'm going to ask her a few questions about the Shauna Banda case down there in Kansas. Also coming up on the show today and behind the headlines, there is a teenager in New Jersey suffering from epilepsy and autism who is fighting for her right to be able to use her medicine at her school. You know, unlike kids who are prescribed oxycodone or Adderall, she's not allowed to take her medicine to school. And by the end of the school day, it gets pretty tough on her trying to fight back against her symptoms. So we'll tell you all about that, the story as it's developing in New Jersey in our Behind the Headlines. And then we'd usually have our drug war data mines, but today we are going to do paraphernalia parade. And this may be one of the largest pieces of paraphernalia we've ever talked about, and technically not really paraphernalia, but it can have a huge impact on folks that are trying to grow marijuana and save money on their electrical bills, especially those of you out there living off the grid. I'm looking at you high in Hawaii. So paraphernalia parade today, we're going to talk about the new Tesla batteries and how they could help marijuana growers. In the Radical Rant today, at the end of the show, I've got a piece from Missouri where there was a debate between a LEAP speaker and the vice president of the National Narcotics Officers Associations Coalition. That's an interesting name. And the reefer madness this man displayed must be rebuked. I'm going to take care of that at the end of the show. And of course, everything starts today with the 420 radio news. In the headlines today, we're going to cover what we broke yesterday in hour two, and that is veterans in our country being stiffed by the U.S. Congress once again. The Italian army is growing marijuana. We'll tell you why, and it's kind of hard to believe, but it's true. In Rhode Island, their House Judiciary Committee was debating marijuana legalization. They might legalize by legislation rather than an initiative. The Denver Broncos picked Missouri's Shane Ray, who had just recently been busted for marijuana. He's facing all the questions about that. And in Tennessee, it looks like the governor there is going to sign the CBD-only bill. So once again, another state legalizing some medical form of marijuana. All that plus hour two, Toker Talk Radio coming up at four. We'll take your calls at 84-420 Radio. I'm Radical Russ. We're right back after these sponsor messages. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for supporting 420 Radio.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade, supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Funky Roller Room.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Ring. Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Ring.
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, May 1st, 2015. The House rejected a proposal Thursday to allow doctors at Department of Veterans Affairs hospitals to discuss the use of medical marijuana with their patients. Representative Earl Blumenauer's amendment to the first fiscal 2016 appropriations bill of the year, which funds the VA and military construction projects, failed narrowly by a vote of 210 to 213. A total of 35 Republicans voted in favor of the amendment, while 8 Democrats voted against it. Boos ensued from the Democratic side of the House chamber when Republicans closed the vote, despite the razor-thin margin. Medical marijuana is legal in 23 states and the District of Columbia, but VA doctors are prohibited from completing patient forms seeking recommendations or opinions regarding medical marijuana to treat conditions like post-traumatic stress. A 2012 VA report found nearly 30% of veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan suffer from post-traumatic stress or depression. The Italian Army has unveiled its first cannabis farm, set up to try to lower the cost of medical marijuana in the country. The Army's foray into cannabis production was first announced by the government in September, and its first crop is coming along nicely. The plants are being grown in a secure room at a military-run pharmaceutical plant in Florence, and the Army expects to churn out 100 kilograms of the drug annually. The site also houses drying and packing facilities. Medical marijuana is considered beneficial to treat a variety of conditions, particularly for managing chronic pain. While Italian doctors can legally prescribe the drug, the cost isn't covered by the state. At the moment, medical marijuana is imported from abroad, primarily the Netherlands, and costs up to 35 euros per gram. Lawmakers on the Rhode Island House Judiciary Committee spent Wednesday evening debating marijuana legalization. The legislation, sponsored by Representative Scott Slater, a Democrat of Providence, would allow individuals over the age of 21 to possess up to an ounce of marijuana, 5 grams of hashish, 16 ounces of marijuana-infused products in solid form, often baked goods or candy, and 72 ounces of marijuana-infused product in liquid form. Individuals over 21 could also possess 2 plants, one mature and one immature. A plant can yield up to a pound of marijuana a year. Marijuana would be taxed at $50 an ounce wholesale. A 10% tax would be imposed on retail sales. This is the 5th consecutive year that legislation has been introduced to legalize and regulate marijuana in Rhode Island. For years, proponents have argued that legalized marijuana could provide a new source of much-needed revenue for the state.
The Denver Broncos traded up to select Missouri's Shane Ray, who was cited for marijuana possession the same week of the NFL draft. Quote, "I don't think weed is something that controls my life, nor has it controlled my life or been an issue," end quote, Ray said Thursday night when asked if starting his professional career in Colorado, where marijuana is legal, would be an issue by creating a temptation for him. He continued, quote, "So I think that's really not a concern at all," end quote. Before sacking a quarterback in the NFL, going through his first practice with the Broncos, or even being officially drafted, Ray earned the distinction of being placed in Phase 1 of the league's substance abuse program when he was cited for possession of 35 grams of marijuana after a traffic stop early Monday near Columbia, Missouri, where Ray played in the Southeastern Conference and recorded 38.5 sacks during 3 seasons for the Tigers. Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam has confirmed to multiple media sources that he will sign a bill legalizing the medical use of cannabis oil. The bill was passed April 13th without opposition by both chambers of the Tennessee General Assembly. The legislation is expected to reach the governor's desk by the end of this week. The bill allows people diagnosed with conditions that create seizures or with epilepsy to use cannabis oil as a treatment. The person must have a recommendation from a doctor to use the oil. The bill doesn't establish a legal method for processing the oil in Tennessee, so those who want to use it will have to purchase it from one of the roughly 24 states where the oil and other marijuana products are legal for medicinal purposes and have the oil shipped to Tennessee. Tomorrow is the Global Cannabis March taking place in cities all across North America and around the world. Visit rad-r.us/GCM2015 to find your city's march. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, May 1st, 2015. I'm Russ Belville. 420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. Welcome back, folks. It's 14 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And today we're taking a look at the state of New Jersey, which has one of the most restrictive medical marijuana programs in the country. And the story we're going to tell you here is of a little 16-year-old girl named Jenny Barber. And she suffers from epilepsy and autism. Her parents, Roger and Laura Barber, have found that cannabis works fantastically to help her deal with her seizures and help her deal with her autism. The problem, though, is that she's able to dose with her cannabis medicine before she goes to school. But over the course of a long school day, that medicine's effects start to fade. And by the end of the day, she's coming home with bruises on her arms, from the chair that's used to restrain her, irritable, aggressive. And so her parents want the right for her daughter, their daughter, to be able to use cannabis medicine at her high school. And of course, the high school, the Maple Shade School District, say they can't allow that because that would run afoul of the law, because marijuana is a controlled, dangerous substance declared by the federal government to have no medicinal value. As Roger Barber points out, quote, "She could have Valium or oxycodone, but not medical marijuana. Other children can take their medicine. My daughter cannot. My daughter is a citizen of this state, and this is a violation of her state and federal constitutional rights." Now, she takes about an eyedropper dose of cannabis oil in the morning before school, and then she also takes an eyedropper full before bedtime, and her seizures have gone down in the morning and in the evening. Only problem she's got is in the afternoon while she's still at school. Her doctor even recommends that she take a dose with lunch. And the parents ask permission, and the school district came right out and said, no, we can't allow that to happen. And they are just at their wit's end here about what they're going to do for their daughter. So now they are suing. And as difficult as it is to get into New Jersey's medical marijuana program as an adult, getting a child signed up for the program is damn near impossible. You have to have two different pediatricians sign off on this stuff. And these have to be doctors who have chosen to register in the medical marijuana program. That's right. As a doctor, to recommend cannabis, you have to register with the state. And this has made it difficult, but they went through all those hoops, jumped through the hoops to be able to get their daughter cannabis oil. And now she's having to fight just to be able to use that at her school. According to the article, even points out how while they were on spring break and she was able to use cannabis oil in the afternoon, she went seizure free for that entire time. And it was one of the first times in her life she's been able to experience that. Now, the Barbers said they debated hiding the oil in Jenny's lunch, but they wanted to do the right thing, according to the Barbers. They wanted to be open and honest about that and not sneak around. Boy, it just leads you to believe that the next parents that hear this story are not going to make that mistake. They're going to go ahead and hide that so that they can't, they don't have to worry about that situation. And there was a compromise that was tendered by the school, and that would have allowed the mother to pick the girl up, to pick Jenny up at school during lunch, take her off campus, and then get her medication, and then bring her back to school. The father rejected that. He said, quote, "Unfortunately, the proposed accommodation has to be rejected due to safety and behavior concerns." It's just amazing to me to think that we would allow kids to take all sorts of drugs, bring them to school and use them, but not their medical cannabis oil. And it's not like, you know, we're talking about the kid using herbal cannabis, something that might be diverted or some other kids would want to smoke. No other kids would want this stuff. It's medicine. It's a cannabidiol oil, for God's sake. According to the report, if his wife were to retrieve their daughter from school, drive off campus, and then attempt to return her to school, it is very likely Jenny would exhibit horrible maladaptive behaviors. This would likely cause further safety concerns for both his wife and daughter. And you know, one of the things about the kids with autism is the structure of their day and keeping things, you know, no surprises, and having a schedule that they follow, a routine, if you will. So that's to be understood as well, that, you know. And why should these parents have to pick their kid up to give their kid medicine when all the other parents don't have to take time off work, make the arrangements, have the car, fight traffic, and all that for their kids that are using Adderall, their kids that are using Ritalin, their kids that are using all sorts of much more dangerous and addictive drugs, drugs that are often sold and diverted by school kids to other school kids. It makes no logical sense whatsoever, and it just goes to show how much we need to fight and keep fighting for the legalization of marijuana and the normalization of its use so that kids that really need it can get the benefit of this medicine.
Well, excuse me!
Well, happy 420 to everybody in the Mountain Time Zone. Hope you're able to enjoy this special time of day. It's so beautiful outside here in Portland, Oregon. Sun is shining, 72 degrees. So glad to be here talking to you. And celebrating the freedom as it continues to develop in this country. We'll talk more about that and talk about Tesla batteries when we come back.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
Yeah, come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Whether it's a vape pen, a pipe, or a bong, you can find it right now on weedshop.com. We got dab rings, nails, and ship it fast, whipping any of a competitor's glass. Come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com. Come to the weed shop, yeah, that's where we shop. Shop at weedshop.com.
Connect with 420radio.org through social media, on Twitter at 420radio.org, and our Facebook page at 420radio.org. Follow us and like us today. You'll be glad you did.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Marijuana smokers are some of the most creative engineers in the world. Now that marijuana is becoming legal, we're moving past homemade creations of necessity and into professionally designed products for the cannabis consumer. We take a look at some of today's hottest products in our paraphernalia parade.
Welcome back, everyone. 22 and a half after the hour, and today on the paraphernalia parade, it's not technically paraphernalia because it's not something you can ingest cannabis with, but it is something that can help you produce cannabis and maybe produce it a little bit cheaper. I'm checking out the Gizmodo website where they've filed a report on everything you need to know about Tesla's new household batteries. Elon Musk, the multi-billionaire entrepreneur, has his Tesla Energy Company producing these household batteries, and they unveiled them today in Los Angeles. Of course, a lot of people have known these have been coming out, but today was the official unveiling. And looking at the picture of these, very sleek wall-mounted units, kind of Star Trek looking, just sleek black, almost obelisk shaped here. And they're called the Powerwall. They have a home version and they've got a business version. The Powerwall is the home version. The business battery is called the Power Pack. And it's primarily for three things as a battery, as an energy storage system. Number one, to be able, if you're in a situation where you have to pay more for your peak use energy versus off-peak hours, you know, for example, you know, power's cheaper at 2 in the morning than it is at 2 in the afternoon, for example, then those batteries can be used to pull power at the off-peak times and store it so that you can then use it later on the on-peak times and not have to spend that money on the on-peak energy side. The number two application for these batteries is for clean energy, particularly solar panels that you might hook up on your rooftop and can store that solar energy. And number three, to act as like a household backup battery. And if all of those things don't sound like a boon to marijuana growers, I don't know what would. This is a phenomenal development. Now, they're new. It's new technology. It's going to take a while for the price points to make this really worthwhile for the smaller grower. A larger commercial, industrial type grow, this might make a little more sense. But the selling price for these are $3,500 for 10 kilowatt hours. $3,000 for 7 kilowatt hours. They haven't got the business prices up yet. And they have certified installers that come in and install it for you. And they've already gotten some project houses that have been set up and have been using these. But it's going to take a little while. The continuous power on these is 2 kilowatts. They can do 3 kilowatts of peak power. And they'll operate at temperatures from negative 4 Fahrenheit to 110 Fahrenheit. They come in multiple colors. There's a red model, a white model, and the black model that I'm looking at. And then the blog Indefinitely Wild on Gizmodo has a post, how the Tesla battery will benefit marijuana growers. And it makes some of the points that I recently made. They spoke to a small marijuana grower with 8 to 10 lights that he's running who is using 250 kilowatt hours of power per day. So even two of those 10 kilowatt hour batteries wouldn't be able to supply all the power that he needs for the lights. And he's on domestic power in California, so it's flat rate. So the on peak, off peak really wouldn't make much of a difference for him. The grower did mention that the number one thing he'd want out of these batteries is as a backup power source. That way, you know, if there's a power outage or a brownout, he can continue to keep the lights on for enough time to prevent his vegetative plants from going into flowering. So that might be the initial implementation of these kind of batteries for at least the small home grower, is merely as a backup source. The cost of solar panels, at this point, it's still too prohibitive to really make it cost effective. According to this particular grower, he says you have to spend 10 times his power bill, and his power bill is like $1,200 a month, they said, I think, in this article. $2,100 a month, including his home use. And at the Home Depot, the most powerful solar panels you can get are over $12,000. So he'd be spending 10 times his power bill to get 1/10 of the power off the solar power. But as the price of solar panels comes down, the technology of these batteries becomes more efficient and the price points come down, we're going to see a point where it's going to make sense for growers to invest in solar, to be invest in these batteries, get themselves off the grid, and possibly even generate enough power to maintain their grows without any sort of grid power whatsoever. Now, on a commercial grow level, they did some number crunching on this and found that there could be some energy money saving here. On a medium-sized 50-light commercial operation running air conditioning during the day with two 10-kilowatt Tesla batteries, they could shift some of the load to off-peak hours, and the savings in demand charges alone would be $8,000 a year. Use charges would lower by $5,500 a year. Again, this is on a 50-light grow operation. They'd save $13,500 a year. Now, on a 50-light grow, we're talking about a multi-million dollar grow, so it's still not a huge savings of any kind, but at least the batteries would be paid for in just 6 months of savings.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's Activist Agenda.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Activist Agenda on this fabulous Friday afternoon. Here in the Pacific Northwest, things are shiny, things are wonderful. We legalized pot, but there's a terrible, terrible downside to that. There's a bill in Oregon to reduce what's going on with our medical marijuana program, and the bill in Washington State, Bill 5052, has already passed, been signed by the governor, and has caused devastation to the medical marijuana community. Joining us to talk about that today, we have Sarah Frank, one of my favorite activist people in the whole wide world. Sarah, welcome back to the show. Hello, Sarah, are you there? Do we get the mute turned off? There we go. Are you there, Sarah? Hello?
This is Billy.
Billy Fisher. Good to hear from you, man.
I'm in Minnesota right now.
Okay, Billy Fisher from Washington State in Minnesota at the moment. Sarah was going to have me call her, but I think you're working on this too as well. The 50-52 referendum.
Yeah, I'm one of the guys that helped file against with the referendum on the R-76.
Okay. So what can you tell us about this? What's this campaign about?
It's basically to kind of separate medical from the recreational, because that's what they had done, was, you know, pretty much combine the LCB with the medical industry, and it's ruined it. It's putting everybody on a registration, making them get pictures, cutting their home grows, allowing them only certain amounts of medicine, and then also having to go through pretty much what the recreational stores are going through. So they're going to regulate the percentage on everything. They're failing to do the tests that, you know, our medical providers, you know, send in and do for, you know, us patients. As, you know, the recreational, they don't. They just put it on their shelves and call it whatever. You know, there's a lot of little problems that have went with this bill, and a lot of us as patients think it was a way for the LCB to go in and destroy the medical community and get it to where they can, you know, get their fingers in on it and start taxing it and, you know, making it part of the recreational, which it just doesn't work in Washington. It hasn't worked for the last, you know, 12 to 15 years, and it's not going to work today, tomorrow, or in another 15 years.
All right. So as a referendum, this is a referendum on the 50-52. So does that just mean it would repeal that and return things back to the way they were?
Yeah. What we're trying to do is they're repealing with R-76. It's basically taken out. What we did is we went in, sat down as a group with all of our sponsors and everybody, and marked out what we didn't like. What that means is, like, us as a patient, as a medical patient, if we didn't like what was in that bill, we boxed it out, initialed it, and after we got done basically marking up this whole entire thing, we signed an affidavit and sent it back to the, you know, the governor, saying us as patients don't like what this is. So,
okay. So the situation now then, as a referendum, you'll have to collect a certain number of signatures, get it on the ballot, get it voted on.
Yeah. Right now they are, they've initiated a ballot. I want to say it's 1372. I want to make sure I'm clear, so I'm trying to look it up really quick. But they have to get so many signatures in amount, I think it's in 70 days of when we filed. And so they're trying to get, the funds to, get the signatures, get the gatherers. They have a lot of it that they can use. They're going to be going around right now. They're printing out the signature ballots. And also the initiative that's going to be following. I was just looking it up. 13. Yeah, I think it's Initiative 1372.
Okay. So so in getting this on the ballot, and if it's to pass, you guys talked about, you talked about how you guys marked up parts of it you didn't like. So is it in essence kind of line item vetoing certain parts of that 50-52? Would it keep some parts of it or just wipe it all out together?
Well, that's where it kind of comes into the little tricky part. This is where you start getting your haters because, of course, we as patients want the whole entire 50-52 gone. But that's not going to happen. And so in order for us as patients to somehow, get a little, that's kind of like what we had to do. We had to give them some, but we also told them that, our right to grow whatever we want as is, with the way it is now, should be the way it is. Same thing with the registry. We've pretty much taken that whole entire part of it out. I'm trying to think of what else. There's a Facebook site that you can go on, and it has all of it. What was taken out on it, why it was taken out, and why also we're doing, what we're doing.
Okay.
And not just trying to veto the whole entire thing. And that is because, part of it is okay. We can live with it. We can always go back and, fix it. But with the Initiative 1372, if we can get that passed, then basically 50-52 is done. It won't even be on the books anymore because 1372 will pretty much wipe it out. So that's what we're really trying to push for, is we're trying to get the signatures for the referendum, and then we're also pushing Initiative 1372, so that way it just goes back in and just clears out 50-52.
Okay. Now, we're speaking with Billy Fisher on this. It's Referendum 76. Is that what the R76 stands for?
Yes.
Okay. So we're talking about Referendum 76, Washington State, to pretty much repeal these new changes that have merged medical marijuana into the recreational, severely cut the number of plant limits, instituted a voluntary patient registry, among many provisions that are in here. And I'm just curious because the reason this 50-52 came about in the first place, at least the proponents would say, is that they instituted this recreational system that can't possibly survive when almost anybody can get a medical recommendation, go to a store that's not regulated, and buy much cheaper weed. So is there anything about this that, if we go back to just the way it was, that problem then comes back? And then what will the response be to make some harmony between these two systems?
That's a good question. I do believe the Initiative 1372 is what's kind of, going about that. What we're also, I forgot to mention, and this is the biggest reason, part of what we're referending, is Section 48 of 50-52 repeals the affirmative defense. And I don't know if Bill Kurtz or not, but he was the one in Washington that had a medical grow, and he was a medical user, but didn't have a card.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put him in prison and all this other stuff. And then he actually beat his case and won and in a Supreme Court and was able to get everything back, get all of his, stuff back, and he doesn't have to register as a patient. With this 50-52, it gives that defense, basically, it it wipes it out. You don't have a defense with 50-52 anymore, because now the state can just say, well, there is no such thing as a medical defense. And so that's one reason why this is really important to anyone, even if you're not a cardholder, you know, that you sign this petition and you definitely look at what was going on, because that's the problem, is nobody really looked at this bill, and so they didn't speak out on it. Mm. And so now we're sitting here going, uh-oh.
Yeah. You know, so this affirmative defense, so people are clear, affirmative defense is a situation where you get busted, but you can go to the court and you can say, hey, I had to because it was medical. Under the 50-52, the way it is now, they've got a voluntary registry where you could get your doctor's recommendation and voluntarily register with the state, or you could not register. You could get your recommendation and not register with the state. So this affirmative defense isn't for those two people. It's for the third guy who doesn't even get a recommendation, right?
Yes, it's for the guy that doesn't even have the recommendation.
Okay.
But he literally has a legit excuse or whatever. He just doesn't have the $175 to go in and get the car.
Sure, yeah, that's what I was going to say, is it seems to me that the motive behind doing a provision like that would be to kind of cajole people to get on the registry, to kind of push them toward the registry.
Yep, exactly. And that's the thing, is a lot of them are scared to be on a registry because of the government. I mean,
that's true. We've seen, you know, all of the states except for California have some sort of registry. Most of them are mandatory. And in some cases, we've seen the government, you know, subpoena those registry records. A lot of times they get beaten back by good lawyers, but not every time. So, yeah, I can understand why people might have a concern about that.
Yeah, and I think that's just one of those. I don't want my picture on something. That's the only thing I don't like, is I don't want my picture in their registry. They can have my name, but they're wanting some information. I mean, it's kind of, for a medical patient that for the last 12 years, I mean, not me personally, but I mean, for the way it's been in Washington, and I mean, it's been working great. I mean, and all of a sudden they want to come in and just totally hand it over to the LCB, which has ruined all kinds of stuff. So, and it also gives the 5-nanogram law a stronger grounds for the state. I mean, that's the other thing that we're not liking, is that, you know, you get pulled over, and I myself am over 16,000 nanograms right now. I mean, I could take a drug test. I have the drug test to prove them. And so,
well, you Billy, know, we're just about out of time. So before I let you go, I want to make sure, if people want to get in contact with you, help out, find out more information and sign the petition, what do they got to do?
Actually, get on Facebook and go to R76. No pesticides are not medicine. It's a group. Also, Jared Alloway, Steve Elliott, Don Skakey, all these people, get a hold of them. They know about it. Look up the new petition that's going out, I-1372, and definitely get out there and get involved and save medical, because if not, it's going to be ruined.
All right. Billy Fisher, thank you so much. The activism you're doing up there in Washington State, and give my best to Sarah. And I know you guys were big in the CPS fight. I'll have you back. We'll talk about CPS one of these days as well. Thanks, man.
Definitely. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Rebutting the reefer madness of the National Narcotics Officers Association's Coalition's Vice President in Missouri. That's one long business card, ain't it? Stick around, we're back right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. 5 of the last 9 major party candidates to run for president, 3 of the last 9 vice presidential candidates, and the last 3 two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everybody. For the Radical Rant today, we're turning to Fox 2 in St. Louis, Missouri, where they recently had two law enforcement professionals on discussing the merits of legalizing marijuana. One from law enforcement against prohibition, and the other, well, it's just pure reefer madness. Take a listen.
New at 10, already on the job, some police officers are coming out and advocating for marijuana to be legal.
Others are taking a stand that legalizing pot could be one of our worst social mistakes. Fox 2's Chris Hayes sat down with two active duty officers who sit at opposite ends while carrying out the same mission to serve and protect. Chris.
Sandy and Rafer, one of the most recent vocal advocates for legalizing pot, is the police chief in a small town in Lincoln County, Missouri. He's with an organization called LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. On the other side of the issue is a lieutenant who works narcotics 40 miles south in Franklin County.
When you open that door, it's not a marijuana cigarette, it's not a joint. You're opening a whole new world of THC that Colorado can't even come close to getting its arms around. It's being quoted as one of the biggest social mistakes they've ever made.
One of the biggest social mistakes they've ever made, says Lieutenant Jason Grellner. Who has said this? Governor Hickenlooper just yesterday said, legalizing marijuana is not as vexing as we had thought it would be. And this guy wants us to believe that it's the worst social experiment in the history of mankind. Go on, Lieutenant.
Jason Grellner is talking about Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, who openly questioned his state's decision to legalize recreational pot use. Grellner is vice president of the National Narcotics Officers Association's coalition.
Well, there's no conflict of interest there, is there? You know, narcotics officers whose jobs, 50% of the arrests in America for drugs are for marijuana. Why would he have any sort of problem with legalization?
What we hear from the other side is don't worry about it. People who smoke marijuana just sit around their house and smoke. They don't get in their cars and go out. Well, that's not what's happening in Colorado.
He points to stories like 16-year-old Chad Britton, who died after being struck by a driver reportedly high on pot.
Well, gosh, that's never happened before. Nobody's ever been hit and killed by an intoxicated driver ever before marijuana was legalized. Come on now. This is just more of this typical scaremongering. But go on.
The government this month released a report on the impact of legalization in Colorado. It highlights increases in marijuana-impaired driving, a more than 56% higher rate of youth marijuana use, and a significant increase in marijuana-related emergency room visits.
All right, let's tackle that. First of all, this release from the government isn't from, like, health professionals, statistically neutral observers. data collectors. No, this is from the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Region. The Federal Drug Task Force that combines the state and the locals, all the drug cops, put together a report on what happened with marijuana in the state. So, of course, they're cherry-picking every bad thing they can possibly find. Now, let's go back and talk about the things that they claim are so terrible. The increases in marijuana-impaired driving. You know what they found is they had done numerous DUI checkpoints in Colorado, because that's legal under their constitution, these DUI checkpoints. And when they do these DUI checkpoints, that is, when they funnel, and by the way, of the DUIs in Colorado, 75% of them get charged through these DUI checkpoints, right? So as they funnel them through a line of cars and they check people, that's when they discover, oh, I smell weed. And that's what's leading to these DUI charges. Not that they're seeing people weave across the roads or drive aggressively or, you know, fade in and out of their lane or tailgate or any of the impaired driving things that might get an officer to pull you over based on your behavior. No, this is filing a bunch of drivers through a checkpoint. Don't you think that after marijuana is legal, the chances of someone smelling like weed in their car probably go up? People probably a little less vigilant about spraying the Febreze. Probably more likely their clothes are going to retain some marijuana smell from wherever it is they visited where weed is legal to smoke. That's what's leading to your increase. In fact, one of the ways you can tell is the fact that the driving fatalities and accidents in Colorado continue to be on the decline. How could there be that many more impaired drivers and yet far safer roads? No, folks, this is just cherry-picking people who happen to smoke pot, which you're gonna find now because they're less likely to want to hide that information. This 56% higher rate of youth marijuana use, these are some questionable statistics as well. But let's give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe more kids have tried marijuana. Is that then the excuse that says, nope, you know what, now we need to go back to arresting adults. We need to go back to criminalizing adults because some kid tried a joint. That's not a reasonable solution here. If there's a higher rate of youth marijuana use, that just requires better education and vigilance. We don't take away the right of people to drink because more teenagers or less teenagers drink alcohol, do we? And in fact, speaking of that alcohol, while I was looking through that Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Report, you know, because I look shit up, I was looking at a lot of their charts and such. And one of the charts that really stood out for me was a chart of substance-related expulsions for their kids in school. You know, getting kicked out of school for a substance, right? And the rate of expulsions for marijuana was at about 3% up until about 2009. And then it went up, and now it's at about 6%. So we went about doubled the rate of expulsions for marijuana since marijuana has become more or less commercially and legally available. That's not what was shocking to me. What was shocking to me is the line right below that, which was the line representing alcohol-related suspensions. 1%, folks. Fairly steady for the past 15 years, 1% of the expulsions related to alcohol. So are we to believe that three times the number of kids in schools are using marijuana than alcohol prior to legalization, and now six times the number of kids in school are using marijuana compared to alcohol after legalization? Come on now. We know these kids are going to keg parties and doing all that kind of stuff, but for some reason, for alcohol, they're not getting suspended. Why is that? And the other point they wanted to make, the significant increase in marijuana-related emergency room visits. You know why that happens? Because in the old days, when merely possessing marijuana meant you were going to get arrested, jailed, and a criminal record, and you were having a bad trip, you waited it out. The last thing you wanted to do to make your bad trip worse was go somewhere where they were going to give you a reality bad trip, jail. Now that marijuana is legal, if you eat too much of a cookie, if you dab a little too heavy and you're not feeling so well, the option of calling for emergency medical help is much more reasonable an option. That's why you're seeing more kids coming into the poison control centers, not because a whole lot more of them are ingesting marijuana edibles. It's because now the parents don't fear for losing their kid, losing their liberty, losing their job, and all the other collateral consequences that would come from reporting this stuff when marijuana was legal. All right, Lieutenant. Go on.
We're seeing people taking edibles and then being involved in horrible critical incidents. We've got college students that are diving to their deaths.
19-year-old Levi Tamba jumped to his death in Denver after eating a marijuana cookie advertised to have 6.5 servings of THC. Grellner says it's an example.
Now, they love to make that point about Levi Tamba, but unfortunately, this lieutenant from the Narcotics Officers Association's coalitions doesn't understand English very well, because as the way I understand it, when you take a noun and you put an S on the end of it, that pluralizes it and indicates that there's more than one. One guy jumped out a hotel balcony. And this guy wants to say, well, geez, we got college students flying out windows everywhere you look, left and right, University of Denver, University of Colorado Boulder. Oh my God, you can't walk down a campus anymore without seeing some kid flying out a window. Give me a break.
Example of why pot today is nothing like what most people might think.
You would have to smoke 30 or more pot cigarettes from the 1970s at one time to get the amount of THC that you're now getting.
Yeah, because there was never any Sensimilia back in the 1970s. This is one of the zombie lies that will not die. Now, it is true, we do have dabs now, and we do have more potent marijuana. But the idea that marijuana today is 30 times stronger than the marijuana of the 1970s is insane. First of all, in the clinical tests, when they do research on marijuana and they're trying to do double-blind placebo stuff and they're giving people samples of marijuana, it's generally you got to have about 4% THC before they even can tell the difference between it and placebo. Right, it's generally about 4% where you actually feel some kind of high. So you mean to tell me all those kids running around at Woodstock, Summer Love, Altamont, Haight-Ashbury were smoking 1% THC joints, freaking industrial hemp? I highly doubt it. I've heard their music. I've seen their art. I've seen their fashion. Those people were smoking some good herb. Probably the herb in the day among the people. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, maybe some once in a every blue moon smoker getting Mexican swag or something was getting, you know, 3%, 4% ditch weed. That's entirely possible. But the people who were really smoking pot, it was 7 to 10% THC probably. 7 to 10%. Now today, you get a bud between 15 and, you know, 25%. So yeah, maybe the weed's twice as powerful. But this Lieutenant Grellner, he goes on at the end of this piece, and let me see if I can get to that real quick.
Say, you know,
we'll jump ahead a little bit ahead of our leap speaker, because we know he's just going to say something sensible.
Grellner and Kirk also agree on the need to improve how we treat addiction.
Sandy. And Chris, didn't Grellner say last week on your piece?
Let's go earlier here.
Spoke out in regards to racial justice.
That's where you'll find agreement. In the concern for social consequences and equal justice, Lieutenant Grellner says legalizing pot will hurt those struggling most.
Where do you think these dispensaries are going to be? Do you think you're going to find these dispensaries lining the streets of Ladue and Chesterfield? Or do you think that they'll pop up mainly, or starting off at least, in poor socioeconomic areas around the region?
This is one of the most offensive parts of their argument, is when they try to play a social justice card. Well, we got to keep it illegal, otherwise they'll just set up a whole bunch of pot shops in the black neighborhoods and take advantage of the blacks. Give me a break. First of all, part of the reason that might happen is because when we do pass these laws, you zone the hell out of us. You zone us so that we can't be in your lily white downtown pristine areas. You force us to the industrial areas. You force us to the places where people aren't generally expecting to find, you know, fine quality businesses. And second of all, don't you think any black parent would much rather have a legal regulated pot shop on the corner than the dealer that's enlisting her kids?
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Hey, folks, that's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.